Shalom, Mr. Najit. Nation Helps of Basotho Brotherhood, Thasocratic Helps of Rugrat Way, Rugrat Empire, all the above. This is Thasocratic Helps of Basotho, formerly known as From the Desk of the Najit. This is the podcast where we discussed all the pertinent information to Israel scattered all around the four corners of the globe, the pertinent political, spiritual information that we need, the politics, news, the precepts, and the prophecy that's going around in the earth right now. It's been a while since I recorded the episode, and I apologize for that. There's been a lot going on. I always tell y'all when I record these things, it's not a regular thing, and I'm going to try to make it more regular. I'm going to try to start dropping an episode a week, but when the Most High God is dealing with me, man, I try to sit back and not speak as much, because what I learned from my younger days of teaching, when I first got into the truth, we were at Fort Valley State. You might know It's Brew Life on Twitter, and my other friend AJ McHenry. When I first converted, when I was first going through my conversion, we talked while we were converting. We converted ourselves. Don't get us wrong. We were living the best that we knew, the best that we could, but we were already teaching. And what I realized that I did, if I'm just being completely honest, is I taught some things that now I understand are, just wrong. Just wrong things to teach it. And it may have put the truth in a bad light. It may have put the Most High God in a bad light. It may have put me in a bad light, which is the least of my worries. But it may have put the truth, the Most High God, Christ in a bad light. And that's something that I don't want to do. Just to give you an example. When I first started teaching, I was fresh out of the Christian church. So the white man is the damn devil doctrine didn't ever really stick with me. When I first got into the truth, I'll tell this story real quick. I got into the truth. Let me tell you how I got into the truth. I'm at home. This is, I want to say maybe like March 2017. I get home, I'm in college. So I'm home one weekend. And I just start researching I've always been a bit revolutionary, since I got probably in about 11th grade, 12th grade. I've been a bit revolutionary, trying to figure out something that changed the world, trying to way to better my people, to get my people to a better position for themselves. So I've always been on that. Now I start researching, Huey P. Newton and Fred Hampton, Stokely Carmichael and Marcus Garvey and Malcolm X and Martin Luther King. Trying to think of some other names, but we got even deeper into it. We're studying the deeper parts of the things. The president of Ghana who disobeyed the British and got killed for it. These are the people that we studied. Nelson Mandela, before he went to jail, and even after he got out to a certain extent, he was just trying to be wise as a serpent, is what you learn to understand. I started studying these people, and eventually I realized, I feed into, once you start feeding into the black power there, eventually you're gonna get to the the Bible is the Christianity is the white man religion. The Bible is the white man book. Did I take that all the way to heart? No. What I did take to heart was, maybe the New Testament wasn't real. Maybe this part wasn't real. So I began to question. And this is why I'm so secure in my faith, right? When people go up in a Christian church, it's difficult for them to be truly secure in their faith because they've never questioned it. They grew up just knowing it, and that's what they knew, and that was it. They've never had any discussion outside to kind of determine if they really believe what they say they believe, if that makes sense. But anyways, I began to question. And eventually it got to the point where, I was in my room and I just said a prayer. And I just said, God, I didn't say in Jesus' name. I was like, God, listen, if you can just lead me into the right direction, please, because I'm just looking for something. I trust in you. I know you're real. I believe in God. But I need to know what's right. I need to know what's good. Sit back and think about it, man. The Most High God gave me exactly what I asked for. I've never thought about life before except sitting here telling this story. But the Most High God gave me exactly what I asked for. He gave me complete understanding. I kid you not. Maybe 2 hours later in my research, I say, okay, cool. I started out by saying, where are we from? It's going to be hard for me to track my actual lineage back to the exact location of where I'm from, because they didn't really even keep good records of exactly where slaves came from. But let me see if I can at least figure out where majority of the slaves came from. Do my research. Majority of the slaves came from a port in Ghana. That was the main slave hub. It was a port in Ghana, a couple other ports down the coast. But Ghana, the Gold Coast area, is their main thing. So I said, okay, cool. We got Ghana, we got the Ivory Coast, all those different things sitting right there. But I also knew just from studying history that, you know, Ghana wasn't named Ghana by the people who are there now. You know, Ghana was named Ghana by the British. You understand? So then I try to go back and I try to figure out, okay, well, what was the first name that even the British had for Ghana before they decided to call it Ghana? What was the first name, you know, that, what's the first name they called Ghana? The Ivory Coast, the Gold Coast, those things, Mali, all those different areas. What was the first thing that they called it? I did my research into this big plot of land in the middle of Africa called Negro Land. Translate the land of the blacks. Negro land, land of the blacks. Negro black land, land of blacks. But especially back in our slavery times, right? It's completely black. The whole continent is black. So why do they have a land in the middle of the black continent that says land of the blacks? Doesn't make any sense. It's illogical. When I start thinking, well, it must be something different about these blacks than the rest of the blacks in the rest of Africa, because they had a need to separate this land and say this particular block of land was Negro land. So then I click on the map and I start studying a little further, and I zoom into the map, and I realize that right there at that post where they say majority of us come from, it says Kingdom of Aouda. Kingdom of Aouda, that translates the Kingdom of Judah. I've heard that word before, and I know I heard it from the Bible. So if I heard it from the Bible, why do we have a land of the blacks, and then we have a Kingdom of Judah? I went back and I read, and I remember what Christ said. When you see Jerusalem can pass with armies, flee to the mountains. And I've always been a social studies guy. So I understood that the Romans already had control of everything north of Israel. They already had control of everything west of Israel. They already had control of everything south of Israel. The only place, the only mountains, let me make sure I get the right name. The only mountains that Rome didn't have control of at the time were in East Africa, that were near there. Let me get the right mountain range. You know, that mountain range that includes Mount Kilimanjaro. I'm trying to think of the name of the mountain range. I used to know it by heart. Hold on 1 second. I'm gonna tell y'all the right name. I don't wanna miss, you know, I don't wanna Anyways, the Mount Kenya mountain range, the mountain range right there in East Africa that crosses all around Ethiopia, all that area, right? So I figure, okay, they fled to this area. And then you start doing the research, and eventually I get to the point where I say, okay, cool, we the Israelites. You know, we the children of God, we the Israelites that the Bible speak of, okay? So then you get on YouTube, you want to learn more. So you type in Israelites on YouTube. You know the first two things during that time, this is 2017. So, of course, now you got Sakara, and you got Brothers of Thunder, and, you know, some different things. But it was three things that were going to pop up in 2017 when you typed in Israelite on YouTube. All right, GOCC, IUIC, ISUPK. All right, clicking on ISUPK to this day, and you know, I'm not gonna watch ISUPK video. I'm sorry, no disrespect to anyone that belongs to that organization, but you know, you start talking about, you know, raping people, and it gets past anything I'm willing to even stomach. All right, next thing I clicked on was IUIC. Now, I don't have as big of a problem with IUIC as other people do, because in my mind, right, they're doing the work. It's your job. Once they get you into the truth to go, it's the same thing with the Christian church, right? It's your job once they introduce you to the beginning measures to go do your own research and, you know, figure out your own salvation for yourself. And then, you know, and I'm not saying it'd be an individual, of course, you need to get with like-minded people, but it's on you, you know, to kind of figure out what's going on, figure out everything they're telling you is the truth. I got less problems with IUIC other than, you know, harking so much on the white man as the devil. And when I first turned that on, I'm like, no, this is hate. I'm not a hateful person. I'm not a spiteful person. I don't like the nobody and the devil. I don't like calling anybody the devil. I don't like hating anyone. So then you get to GOCC. And GOCC is pretty much where I got majority of what I'll call my YouTube knowledge. That's where I got majority of my YouTube knowledge. If I got something off of YouTube, Majority of it came from GOCC. Some of my teaching styles, especially my earlier teaching styles, came from, you know, watching IUIC street teaching videos, or, you know, watching Nathaniel, or it's another one I used to like, Yahawasop, you know, watching those different people. And I learned some stuff not to do by watching, trying to think of the dude's name. I can't remember his name. Amaziah, because he's just, he's a little rough. But anyways, majority of the stuff I learned, like, you'll hear me sometimes, you'll say, see? Just like, you know, Rastachar from GOCC. See? You see? I catch myself saying, I catch myself saying a lot. Shout out to GOCC, though, because they put in some bricks, really put in some work. And of course, now we got not a lot of other people putting in bricks, putting in work, on disrespect. But anyways, I'm watching GOCC. I'm continuing down the GOCC pathway. And, you know, you continue to study and you get boastful. You know, you get boastful in your skin. You get boastful in the fact that I'm an Israelite by blood. Even though now I understand that blood, I don't think that blood gives you as if you're righteous. That blood gives you the option of rulership. That blood gives you the option of being in the upper class. But if you're not righteous, it doesn't matter. And if you are righteous, regardless of what skin tone you are, you're going to make it into that kingdom. What your role will be in that kingdom is to be determined. But you'll make it in that kingdom. I got no hate for bone in my body. Right? But at the time, you know, that boldness, that pride to get into your mind, it'll make you think that you're better than everybody else on the face of the earth. So I'm going around and I'm yelling, the white man's a devil. I know you're Asian and this and that and this and that. And talking about all kind of people just being overly zealous. You know, just going extremely too far, extremely to the left, all off. You know, I'm completely off. I'm completely gone. I'm taking a scripture in Deuteronomy that's talking about a specific nation. You know, that says you can't marry a specific nation. I'm telling people they can't marry nobody of no other nation. I understand your beliefs, maybe whatever your beliefs is, but as far as the law is concerned, I'm telling people to hate Esau, even though the law says thou shalt not abhor an Edomite or an Egyptian. You don't abhor an Edomite because that's your brother. You don't abhor an Egyptian because you were a sojourner in their land. And they took the beginning of him. They took Joseph. You understand? They took Joseph's father. They took Joseph's brothers in. So it's difficult for you to now come back and say, well, these people are unclean when they treated you with respect at least for a long time before we end up in a situation we were in Egypt. And Esau just your brother. Regardless of he your bad little brother that really hates your guts, he's still your brother, and it's not much that we can do other than respect our brothers. But anyways, that's just an example of, you know, I'm teaching something that's completely wrong. I'm going to have to go back now and backtrack on what I was teaching, pull down a lot of videos I had put up to make sure that everything that I'm teaching is correct. Not only that, you know, I have to listen to what Paul says. When Paul said, listen, everything that's lawful is an expedient. So it may be some discussions, some topics are a bit rough. I understand this. So sometimes you just don't speak on it because it's going to lead someone astray. You had those type of conversations in private, me and Brew, me and Drew, or me and Ann, or me and Foster Four, whoever, had those conversations. But I don't put those conversations out on Instagram, or out on Twitter, or out on Facebook when I used to have Facebook. We don't just throw those conversations everywhere, because you throw those conversations everywhere, you end up in a position where people are being misled. Almost like Paul's letters will do to you if you're not learning the law before you try to speak on Paul's letters. But anyways, that's just an example of why when the Most High God is dealing with me, when I'm digging in new territory, digging in new things and trying to figure things out, you may see me posting a lot of just crazy stuff. Like earlier today, it's 2:00. Earlier today I was posting. I posted on my investment page. You can find a link down in my bio at the Knowledge Melchizedek. Look at my bio, my investment page. I did a lot of research into my stocks recently. I posted the best governors in the country on my Instagram story, and you know, get to Goshen, things like that. But I'm still trying to figure out exactly what Goshen is. You know, I'm still trying to determine what state to go to, what countries to go to when it really hit the fan, or if it's really going to hit the fan now, if it's going to hit the fan in 10 years or 5 years or 3 years. I'm not trying to date set, but, you know, just trying to be a watchman for the people. Anyway, it's been so much going on that I haven't spoken on. I'm going to try to keep this episode about an hour, 50 minutes to an hour, but it may go over, it may go under, I don't know. It depends on what kind of rant I get on. But the first thing we're going to discuss is these COVID vaccines. I don't like to give them a lot of attention because COVID is just about over in the areas in which I live. No one's really too worried about COVID anymore. Still a couple places that require a mask, but for the most part, no one's too worried about COVID. But I want to bring out some facts that aren't conspiracy hinge theories, right? These are facts that come straight from Johnson & Johnson, Pfizer, Moderna, the U.S. government, the CDC, whoever you believe. The coronavirus vaccine does not prevent you from getting the coronavirus. The coronavirus vaccine does not stop you from spreading the coronavirus. The coronavirus vaccine is designed to alter your RNA, which is the next closest thing you got in your body, to your DNA. So what you think the next vaccine is going to do? It's literally made to make your cells. In science, it's a well-known fact that bodies reject foreign objects. That's why people are, when they get this vaccine, they're throwing up uncontrollably. They're getting, it's called cholera. They're throwing up and getting diarrhea to the point where they die from dehydration. Because your body is going to reject anything that's foreign, anything that's not organic. So now when they're putting mRNA, they're putting fake RNA into your body, your body's going to reject it. But because it's RNA, it's very difficult for your body to remove it from its body. So it kills itself trying to remove it. It tries its hardest to remove it, and it kills itself trying to. Right? And that's because you're putting something foreign into your body, mRNA. Normally, even vaccines, and I don't agree with most vaccines, but at least like the flu shot, they're actually sticking you with a organic thing. It's the actual flu virus, so-called, but it's a dead virus. This, they're not shooting you with dead coronavirus. They're shooting you with a completely fabricated version of the coronavirus, mRNA. Right? So it's made to alter your mRNA. It's made to alter your cells. It's made to make you a different creature than what you were created to be. That's what it's designed to do. And it's also killing people all over the nation. They're saying that now, okay, vaccinated people can travel freely, and they're trying to require, and a lot of this, I'm going to be honest, guys. What I think a lot of this is testing the water. All right, so I think at the beginning of the pandemic, they did not think they were even going to get this good of a test in. All right, but because people were so willing to submit, they realized, okay, well, let's get us a great testing. So now I think these first couple cruises in Israel, of course, is going to do it because they're a demon seed. Fake Israel over there, they're the demon seed. So, of course, they're gonna mandate the vaccines everywhere. But I don't think majority of the world is going to get to the point where they can mandate vaccines everywhere, because let's be honest, if you were to mandate vaccines in the southeastern United States, you're going to have a civil war in your hands. People are not going to submit. Ron DeSantos down in Florida already said if a company requires a vaccine to engage in business with them, they can't engage in business in Florida. Greg Abbott has almost said the same thing in Texas, not quite as strong, but pretty close. Tate Reeves in Mississippi is on the same wavelength. And I'm sure Kate Ivey in Alabama is on the same wavelength. Also, Brian Kemp in Georgia is probably close to the same wavelength. He doesn't want too many people operating in Georgia that's requiring a vaccine. And also, you got North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, those states up in that area, Montana, Idaho, that are going to be very adverse against requiring vaccines for day-to-day things. So you're pretty much going to split the country into three almost, because you're going to have the Southeast all the way up to the Midwest. Then you're going to have that Far East, the New Yorks, New Jerseys, Rhode Island area, Maine, Vermont, all that stuff up there. Maybe even swing down North Carolina, Virginia. That's about as low as it'll get. I don't even know if North Carolina go in that direction, to be completely honest with you, but maybe North Carolina, probably Virginia. I will give them Virginia, but maybe North Carolina. And on the other side, of course, you're going to have your Californias, your Washingtons, your Oregons, but Arizona's probably going to side with the Southeast. New Mexico may or may not. You never really know. Right? But you're going to have a civil war in your hands if you attempt to mandate vaccines in a large way inside the country. But I do think they're attempting, because when they do finally get the vaccine, they can alter your DNA. I think they're just seeing exactly how much it's going to take to get people to take this vaccine. How many people do we have to kill with a virus so we can kill majority of the world with the vaccine? How many people we got to kill with a virus so that we can make these people Satan's seed instead of the seed of the Most High God? Or attempt to make these people Satan's seed instead of the seed of the Most High God? Because even when people say sell their soul, the soul wasn't yours to sell. You can't sell anything that wasn't yours. That's why when the devil comes, he kills you. When they sign, and I know, see, once again, I'm getting on the ramp. Right, but that's kind of the point of the podcast. If you didn't want me to rant, you didn't turn on Fast Credit Helps, but you don't hear the not just speak if you don't want me to rant. That's why you listen to me, because I rant. But anyways, when these people sell their soul, when these people so-called sell their soul, you ever wonder what the deal is? Why do they die? You know, when they sell their soul, why is it a death sentence? Why when they decide they're going to do anything adverse to what these people say is a death sentence? Because the people don't own their soul. It's not, they can't do anything with their soul, right? They don't have a heaven or a hell to send them to. What they own is that image. They own your brand. So when Michael Jackson, the brand that they built, they feel like they owned, when Michael Jackson began to take that brand and do something with it that they didn't want to be done with it, they knocked him off and kept the brand. Prince knocked him off, kept the brand. Kobe Bryant was about to leave Nike and start his own shoe company. You know, he would have took the majority of the NBA with him, and Lord knows he probably would have done and started a league after that if the league didn't want to do what they had to do for the players. They said, no, Kobe, we built that brand. That brand is ours. We're going to take that brand back. All right, same thing. And then you see people like Pop Smoke, and you wonder, did he decline to give them his brand? And is that why he's dead now? Or XXX, did he give them their brand, and they came back and took their brand back, and he refused to give them the brand? So they said, we can't let you be that powerful. Not only that, you got to understand that when you're going in the evil direction, I've said this before, but when you're going in the evil direction, you must understand that. And I'm not saying this to be cocky, all right? I'm saying this in the most humble way possible, but I feel like I'm a powerful being as far as the Most High God is concerned. I feel like the Most High God sees me as someone who can at least influence a couple people. And when you can at least influence a couple people, the problem becomes if evil gets a hold to you and puts you on a pedestal, you can influence a lot of people to do evil because you're just a powerful being. Okay, so he has to make sure that you influence people to do good, or he might have to knock you off himself. All right, if you're getting too evil and you're too powerful, he cannot let you stand. You have no choice but to go. Because if he would let you stand, you become too much of an issue for him. You become more of an issue than you could have possibly been a help once you get too far into evil. So it's a dual-fold system. But these people don't have any soul to sell, so they can't make you a devil seed. They can try to. They can try to put inorganic materials inside of an organic being to make that being inorganic. Yeah, they can attempt this, but it's no guarantee that it's going to work. It's no guarantee that it's going to happen. But I think now they're just trying to see exactly how much it would take to get people to go this far. See, that's why they began testing it with what? They said, well, let's just do concerts and sports games and cruises a couple weeks, and let's see how they respond to that. Maybe that'll be enough to get them to take it when we get the DNA vaccine. And then we may try a couple grocery stores. We may can get Whole Foods to do it. You know, they may can get Aldi's. They may can get Sprouts Farmers Market. You know, some of the places like that that aren't catered to that market anyway, so they won't lose a lot of business. All right, let's get them to try it, and then we'll go from there. We'll see exactly what we have to do in order to do. We have to take away food. Do we have to do it? Here's the thing. As much as they try to defy scripture, they try their hardest. So what they want to do is be able to say, well, listen, we were able to implement the mark of the beast without saying you can't buy or sell. People just agreed to do it. But the Most High God word will never come back void. So we understand that when that DNA vaccine comes, when that mDNA vaccine, they might call it LDNA. It's going to tell you straight up, it's Lucifer DNA. When that LDNA vaccine comes, they want to know exactly what they got to do to get you right. And it's going to be a requirement in all of the earth, except for very rare places that it hasn't reached, that in order to buy or sell, in order to engage in commerce, you get that LDNA vaccine and or the mark of the beast, the mark of a man. All right, that's why what did Christ say in Psalms? Ye are gods. I have said you are all children of the Most High. But ye shall die like men, and ye shall fall like one of the princes. You're not a man. You're the son of man. Understand this. But that mDNA, that LDNA, as I'm going to call it, I'm just going to say the DNA vaccine that's coming next, they just want to know exactly what they're going to have to do to get you to take it. And that's what they're trying to figure out now with this vaccine. What I'm going to say to you now is go ahead and get yourself on the red list. Resist now so they know you're willing to resist later, because if you show them now, if we as a people show them now that we're willing to take this thing right now, it's going to speed up the time even more. The Most High God and Christ have already speeded up the time. The time has already been sped up. We're in a time that's unprecedented these days now. But if you let these people get an inkling that within the next 5 or 10 years, they'll have the ability to make you take this vaccine with no effort, with no problems, and they already almost feel like that, because you see now people fight, but they know it's a real population of people out here that's going to refuse to take it, and they can't have that when the time comes. They got to have complete control, but they got a pretty good segment of population, probably 25% to 30, maybe even 40. I would doubt 40. I would probably cap it off at 35 max, but I'm leaning towards like 25, 30% of the population that is hell-bent that everybody should get this vaccine and nobody should be exempt from it. All right, but the vaccine does not stop you from spreading coronavirus. It does not stop you from getting coronavirus. The only thing it stops is the symptoms. So one thing that's changing now is what? People get the vaccine. They're so damn stupid. They didn't even read. All right, they just took the vaccine. Didn't read to see that I can still get coronavirus. I can still give coronavirus. I can still die from coronavirus. They just say it's less likely. The only thing the vaccine does is make it less likely you're going to die. But because they got the vaccine, now they say, well, I ain't got to get tested no more. I ain't got to get tested no more. I ain't got to get tested. Who cares? I ain't got to get tested no more because I got the vaccine. I can't get it, Corona, even though, yes, you can. And you can give it to anybody that doesn't have the vaccine. You can give it to somebody that does have the vaccine. The vaccine just didn't work for them. You can get the second strand, the so-called South African strand, the so-called British strand. It's two different strands. Well, three different. You got the original COVID. It's probably more than that, but they know of. You got the original COVID. You got the South African strand, and you got the British strand. All right, so you got the Chinese strand, South African strand, the British strand of coronavirus. The COVID-19 version of coronavirus. Let's not forget SARS and MERS are coronavirus as well as the common cold is coronavirus. And they don't have a vaccine for the common cold yet. So how do they magically don't have a vaccine for SARS or MERS? How do they magically find a vaccine for this? I wonder. Was it magical? Did it just exist in a vaccine for this? No. It's mRNA. They're telling you we're going to change your DNA. But I'm telling you to submit. I'm telling you to submit to the Most High God and resist the devil. Resist the evil that this world is giving you. Okay, I get they're giving you free donuts. If you're a brother listening to this podcast still in the world, I get that they give you free entry to a strip club that your ass should not be at anyway. They're giving you free donuts that you should not be eating every day anyway. Because the time is coming where you're going to have a little cardio. I'm fat too, so I don't think I'm getting on nobody's ass. But even me, I'm going to the gym now because I know the days are coming. You need a little cardio. You may not need a whole lot of weightlifting, but you're going to need a little cardio because I got that Glock for the weightlifting. But you're going to need a little cardio. You're going to have to be able to get from one place to another. You might have to ride a horse. You might have to ride a bike. You might have to walk. You don't know what's going to happen and what day it's going to happen. So you got to be ready. So you don't want a bunch of donuts anyway. What else? They're telling you, you may can't go on the first couple of cruises. So what? Hop on a plane and fly. They tell you you can hop on a plane and fly. That's fine. We live in Babylon the Great. Wherever you want to go, if you want to go to a beach with clear water, we got that. Regular beach, we got that. We got mountains. We got volcanoes. Whatever you really want to see, you can fly to Hawaii, go to the islands. We got the British Virgin Islands right there. Whatever you really would like, you can fly to. I'm not saying Babylon is a great place. I'm saying the Most High God made these beautiful places, so even Babylon is beautiful. The Most High God even said, what about Esau? That he would live in the fattest places of the earth, and everything he would get by the sword. So this is a fat place. This place is beautiful until the Most High God has to come destroy it because of the horrible things that have happened on it. But resist. Do not submit to the devil. Submit to the Most High God and resist the devil with all your being. It does not matter what they come back, and I'm not even just talking about now. All right, when they come back 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 7 years from now, 15 years from now, 14, 20, 50, whatever the amount of time is, and they say, hey, this, when we were talking about coronavirus, no, this is what we're really about. When they come out with the vaccine, this is what people got to realize, right? It's easy for me right now. This virus kills somewhere between 0.3 and 0.5% of the people that get it. Not even a whole percentage. It did not change the death rate in the United States, not even 0.1%, because all they did was take away obesity, deaths, heart disease, death, heart attack, deaths. I think one dude in Florida got hit by a bus and they put him down because he tested once he got to the hospital, he tested positive for corona. They said he died from corona, even though he got hit by a bus. All right, but it'll be a lot harder when the virus comes, but they're going to make it. All right, they're cooking it up now, trying to. But they got to time it right. I don't know if they have the technology yet to change your DNA with a shot. All right, so I think they're still working on that technology. But they're gonna bring this new virus out. See, because Ebola, SARS, MERS, they're very deadly viruses, but they're not very viral. COVID-19 is extremely viral, but it's not extremely deadly. So imagine if they mixed Ebola and coronavirus. Now you got extremely deadly and extremely viral. It's the perfect beast for them to be able to introduce this new world order, this beast system, this chip, all right, this DNA, this LDNA vaccine. Because now you're looking and you're saying, well, this virus, 1 in 4 people that get it die. I got a 25% chance of dying if I were to contract this virus, and I have a 90% chance of contracting the virus. Which means, for the most part, man, I got a 25% chance, give or take, 20% chance of death. So when that virus comes, it becomes a bit more difficult for you to just say, hey, you know, I'm just not going to take the vaccine. I'm just not going to do it. It becomes more of an issue of, man, I don't want to die. You have to sit there and you have to face mortality and have true faith in the Most High God. You know, when you face that, when you have to sit back and face that mortality, you have true faith in the Most High God that He'll save you from that situation, and that's what it's going to take in this next situation. This one is easier for the people who really believe. because quite frankly, you don't have to. You can trust literal science and not have to trust the Most High and not take this vaccine. Now, I don't like to say trust science, and I'm going to trust the Most High, and I'm telling you to trust the Most High. But what I'm saying is people who don't believe in the Most High cannot take this vaccine because it kills between 0.3 and 0.5% of people who get it. So if you just don't agree with vaccines in general for whatever reason, you can justify not taking this vaccine. The next one, the only way to justify not taking it is going to be the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because it's going to look as if the only thing that we can do is take the vaccine because it's going to be just that deadly of a disease. And you have to prepare yourself for that. Prepare yourself for the thing that's coming. All right, this coronavirus is nothing. Prepare yourself mentally to turn down a vaccine when you know you got a 20% chance of death just from going outside, just from going to the grocery store. You actually have it. The way they're making it seem now, a coronavirus, imagine when it's really like that. In real life, you really know that's what the scripture says. It's another revelation. When the scripture said it's going to be what? Two in the field and one shall be taken, one shall be left. Is that taking a good thing or a bad thing? We used to think of that as the rapture in the Christian church. But now what is that taking? Is that taking death? Is it the plagues of the last days that's coming? I believe so. And what you got to understand also is the same way that the death of the firstborn didn't affect us. Why? Because we had the blood on the doorposts. The same way that the frogs and the locusts didn't enter into Goshen. We have to find Goshen because this time the frogs and the locusts or whatever is coming, they won't enter into Goshen. So you got to find Goshen. That's why I post on Instagram all the time. Somewhat Georgia. Not, I don't really consider Georgia Goshen anymore. I think it's past Georgia. I think it's Florida. I think it's Alabama. I think it's Mississippi. I think it's Louisiana. I think it's Texas. And I think it may even stretch up into the Northeast, into the Midwest right there. I think this is Goshen. Why? Because the Most High God does not have to punish the South, this current South, quite as much as he has to punish New York, he has to punish North Carolina and Virginia, as much as he has to punish California, Oregon, Washington. These states have to be punished in totality. You know, California, in my opinion, is going to darn near have to get wiped off the face of the earth. I don't know what the Most High God got planned for them. But they're going to have to almost get wiped off the face of the earth to erase the unrighteousness they've put into the earth. All right, so we as a people have to understand it. Between now and the time that the next virus comes, we have a very, very solemn obligation that we have to meet. All right, because I always say this, and I don't know if people take me serious when I say it or if they just think I'm a bit too militant, but Christ is coming back not in the form that he came before. All right, when he came before, he was in a very nice, jovial mood because that's what he was here to be in. That's what he was here to do. That's what he was here to portray, a nice, jovial mood, have a good time. He's not coming back in the same jovial mood. He's coming back in a mood of destruction, in a mood of let's handle this business and let's get on. All right, so what we have to do, he's coming back as a general. As a king, a general does not build up an army. A general sends his lieutenants, his majors, his brigadier generals, whatever you want to call them, his field marshals. He sends them out and he says, hey, raise me an army and I'm coming to command the army. I'm going to come and lead the army in the battle. Go raise me an army. So what I mandate is right now, while we're sitting on this earth and we're waiting. Our job is to build a nation for the Most High God, build a nation for Christ, build a nation for the arm of the Most High God, the power of the Most High God, build a nation so when he returns, he can go straight to work. When he returns, we say, Most High God, listen, we conquered. Most High God, we conquered South Georgia Island. We got the Falkland Islands. We got Patagonia right down the bottom of Argentina. We got the Antarctic Peninsula. We got South Georgia, and we got South Africa. The rest of the world right now is under the control of the beast, and we need your help. But we got an army raised for you, Major. We got an army raised for you, Most High God. We got an army raised for you, Christ. Come on. He's waiting for you. I know you brought your 144,000 with you, but we got the rest of the men waiting on you. And we ready to fight. we're ready to fight to the death, and that's the position that you must put yourself in. That's the mindset you must put yourself in, that we're gearing up for a fight to the death, but we got to build a nation to even be in the fight. I always post that in 1950, 1960, China was the poorest nation on the face of the earth. I think something like 75% of people were starving. Japan had just came in and beat the dog shit out of them. Right? What, 20 years before during World War II? And they're still recovering from Japan coming in and beating the dog shit out of them. And you fast forward from them being the poorest nation in 1960 to the second richest nation and the third or second most powerful nation as far as military power is concerned on the face of the earth. If they're capable of doing it and we're the most powerful nation on the face of the earth, we're bigger, we're faster, we're stronger. According to the Most High God, we're above every nation on the face of the earth. Why can't we do the same thing in less than 50? Why can't we do it in 1/5 of the time if we're the greatest to ever walk the earth? In 10 years, we should be able to build the most powerful, sustainable nation on the face of the earth with ease. Shouldn't be a problem for us. And we got to focus on doing that. All right, we can't continue to focus on everything that matters, this or that, 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 this or that. We have to sit down and we have to focus on building a nation. We have to sit down and we have to focus on what the Most High God needs from us, what the Most High God is going to need from us when he gets back here. All right, what Christ is going to need from us when he gets back here. These are the things we got to focus on, because these are the things that we have a mandate to do. You know, I don't have a mandate to run around and say the white man is the damn devil. That's stupid. That's idiotic. Doesn't do any good. I was watching another movie, and this movie has changed, you know, my life, to be completely honest with you, man. I'm glad the Most High God put it on my heart to watch it. Judas and the Black Messiah. And one thing I saw about Fred Hampton that I really admired was that he was able to overlook the skin color. He was able to look for the oppression. And I don't use that word lightly like most people do, but he was able to overlook, okay, yeah, this dude is white. This is a white dude. But at the end of the day, this white dude is the same oppressed as me if he lived in rural Mississippi. And he went to a horrible school. And he got a dead-end job. He living in North Georgia, and I'm living in, you know, the slums of Atlanta. They both the slums. We both living with roaches and rats. So what's the difference? The difference is the people who are on the top, the elite, the real Esau, they've made us believe, and they've made them believe they're better than us. And they made us believe that they think they're better than us. They made us believe that these people have a problem with us. They made them have a problem with us. But at the end of the day, you must understand it. We're all dealing with the same oppression. Us, Issachar. In the bottom rung of whatever you want to call the white people in this nation, the oppression is the same. What they're doing to us is the same. What they did to us with crack, now they're doing it with opioids. All right? What they're doing to us is generally the same. Of course, and when I say that, people are going to get up and say, no, the Israelites been through worse. Of course. Of course, over time, we've been through worse. Of course. And of course, now at least they're in some sort of position of power. Of course. Of course, we've been through more. But I'm much closer to them. It's no point in me fighting them when I can go fight the real enemy. They're not my enemy. I got no issue in fighting them. They probably got no reason to fight me. You have to go after the real enemy. We fight. What the Bible say? For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. So we have to attack those principalities and high places. All right, we can't attack the flesh and blood. All right, so that's what the Fred Hampton movie taught me. And I had already gotten to the point where it wasn't much to it, but he taught me to completely say, listen, it's about changing the world for your people. Whatever you have to do to change the world for your people, and that's just what you have to do. All right, but you can't play around with it, and you can't waste time worried about what this nation is doing or that nation is doing or that nation is doing unless it's directly affecting you. All right? And most of the time, you got to understand, it's not like the old times. In the old times, the leader of the nation had the heart of the nation. So you could believe that when the leader of a nation did something, that whole nation was with him. That's not the case these days, right? I don't agree with everything Joe Biden does. I agree with nothing Joe Biden does. I didn't agree with everything Trump did. All right, so it's not as if just because I'm a so-called United States citizen, I don't agree with everything IUIC or Israelite School of Practical and Universal Knowledge, ISUPK. I don't agree with anything most of them say. I don't agree with everything GOCC says. All right, so just because we're a part of this, because they're a part of the nation, don't mean they're on one accord with the upper class that want to take you out. They want to take them out too. The goal is to get Earth down to the 3 million. All right, the goal 500,000. The goal is not to kill all the blacks. That's step one. But then we're gonna kill all the poor whites too. We're gonna kill all the Asians. And I don't want to get into the Asian stuff, because see, Asians is the, and I can't blame them. That's another thing I want to speak on, right? So let's move on to that topic. And then I got the last topic I'm gonna do. We're gonna end it on that. I really don't even want to talk about that, but I gotta say it. Next thing I want to talk about is this so-called Asian hate thing we're going through right now. Now, I will say this. I got no problem with it, like most people do. Let me tell you why. I don't care. It's not my business, okay? So if Xi Jinping is smart enough to infiltrate the U.S. and to make them now treat Asian people as if they're subjugated group of people, even though they own the majority of the businesses in our neighborhoods, even though they own all our nail shops, and I'm glad to see not some of our women at least doing the eyelashes, some of them doing fingernails too, but they own majority of the hair stores in our community, these things, and now they want to tell us that they're so-called marginalized, right? They got China, second richest nation on the face of the earth. They got another top 10 richest nation in South Korea. They got another top 10 richest nation in Japan. What country in Africa is the top 10 richest in the world if sub-Saharan Africa? The answer is none. That's a marginalized and oppressed people. Why? We got nowhere to run. If you Japanese, you can go back to Japan, you'll be fine. If you Chinese, you go back to China, you'll be fine. If you're from Mongolia, China will take you, you'll be fine. Right? If you're from Malaysia, you'll be fine. And I ain't necessarily talking about them, they'll be more brown, but if you're from South Korea, you'll be fine. If you're from North Korea, quite frankly, you'll be fine. But don't believe that this was started by just random Asians in the U.S. I'm telling you, this comes straight from the Chinese Communist Party. All right, this Asian hate, this Asian marginalization, whatever they want to call it, stop Asian hate. I can guarantee you that this came straight from Communist China. It did not come from people. All right, Communist China is calling the shots on this movement, and that's the difference between us and them, right? We get this whole big Black Lives Matter thing riled up, and we allow other people to take the thunder and use it for other things. Our movement is always controlled by someone else. Xi Jinping, that's the president of China. The president of the Communist Chinese Party, he's going to be China's leader until he decides to either retire or die, which is going to be at least another 20 or 30 years. So he'll be the leader of China for the foreseeable future. Right? He's orchestrating the entirety of this thing. Why? Because he says, I'm not going to let this go to waste. The blacks may let it go to waste, but I'm not. If we can get these people to give us loans, give us free grants, we'll push it as far as we can in that. Xi Jinping would pay people to kill Asians if he needed to, in order to continue to push this, narrative. Why? Because he can get more money out of the U.S. The U.S. will start giving out grants and all kind of shit to Asians just because they say they marginalized, even though they probably own literally 25%, 30% of the black businesses. Of the businesses that's in black neighborhoods. Probably closer to 50%. You understand? And Indians own another 30%. White people on another 15, and we got 5. All right, but Xi Jinping is calling the shots on this, man. When it comes to the Asian hate stuff, I need y'all to sit back and realize it's not that serious. It doesn't really involve us. When it doesn't involve us, leave yourself out of it. Who cares if they want to say Asians are marginalized? Okay, cool. Asians are marginalized, whatever. Move on with our life and building our nation so we can get to the point where now, if they do say, well, oh, George Floyd again, then we'll have a nation that's powerful enough that we can capitalize on that rather than just being sitting ducks and sitting here looking stupid, twiddling our thumbs, okay? We got to be proactive in that sense. We got to be proactive in the sense that we got to be able to capitalize. Just like Hillary Clinton said, it's a shame to waste a good tragedy. We got to feel the same way. It has to be a shame to waste a good tragedy. We have to make sure that we're getting something out of every situation. We got to make sure we're beginning to build a nation. We got to look at the politics of the U.S., the politics of China, the politics of Russia, the politics of South Korea and Iran, the politics of North Korea and Malaysia, the politics of Japan, the politics of South Africa. We have to understand these things. Why? Because if we're going to rule the earth, If we're gonna be the best on the play face of the planet, if we're gonna build ourselves up from our bootstraps that we at right now, we must understand the simpleness of this realm. Why? Because the Most High God is much more complex. This realm is simple. If you can't understand the politics of this realm, if you can understand the way this realm is going and he gave you a book to go with it, how are you gonna understand the crazier things? If the Most High God sent you, if the Most High God put you on the earth to conquer an island, and you can't conquer the island, what makes you think he's gonna let you go conquer a planet? Or you ain't never thought that deep, huh? You ain't never thought that deep. You never worried about it. What makes you think? And see, some of the time it's not that serious. Some of the time you got to understand it. It's not even your job. It's not your job to go conquer it. It's not your job to go do that big. Do your job in Israel. Let me just say that too. Make sure you're doing your job in Israel. But the perfect example is in the scriptures, and this is a way to give an easy example to anybody. The example of Christ. When he gave the parable of the man, the rich man who gave out the talents to all three of the people, one of them put them, you know, one of them made X amount back, one of them made X amount back. The last one, he buried his in the ground. He said, well, I knew you was a shrewd person, master, so I put it in the ground so I won't lose none of your money. The master said, man, the least you could have did was put money in the bank so it would have gained a little interest. You didn't even do that. So I'm going to take what you got and I'm going to give it to somebody else. And that's what you should be afraid of, that light being snatched from you and given to someone else, because the Most High God can do it on job of the dime. The thing that saves most of us, the thing that saved me, is that the gifts of God are without repentance. All right, so it takes us a while before the Most High God gets to the point where he just want to knock you off. He just want to get rid of you, all right? You got to completely get all the way off the beaten path. But some of us do. Some of us have, and the Most High God is still sparing. He's not going to spare you forever. At a certain time, the light going to get pulled. When the light get pulled, and you have no purpose in life, you got no more drive, you going straight downhill. You become a water sack, sitting duck waiting to die. All right, so focus on the politics, the prophecy, the news. All right, don't focus on what Asians doing. Don't focus on what Sakari doing in the strip club. Who cares? Nothing. The boys want to be in a strip club for Passover. Of course we understand it's not right to be in a club for Passover. Cool. Tell them that one time, move on about your life. Sitting on Twitter talking about these grown men, and you a grown man ain't doing nobody no good. You a grown man, they're a grown man, they made their decision. Of course, you speak out against it, because we always speak out against wickedness, but you don't just continue to bash people for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 days. We want to have the Negro-only discussion. Well, who cares? If you believe it's Negro-only, fine. Then you go speak to the Negroes. I'm still going to talk to Issachar. I'm still going to talk to Naphtali, because that's what I believe they are. I'm still going to talk to the natives, and I'm going to teach them. Because I'm going to teach every nation. I'm going to go teach to the natives first. You understand? But I'm going to teach every nation. I got no problem with teaching anyone who wants to be taught. I teach them. So if you only want to teach Negroes, then cool. Only teach Negroes. I'll speak out against it once or twice. I'll say my piece, and this is what I believe, and I'm not going to continue to argue with a grown man, because a grown man has his own beliefs, and the Most High God is going to deal with him. All I can do is deal with myself. When last time you been to the strip club? And I ain't trying to justify what they did. We all know what's wrong. What are you doing? You're a grown man. Don't you got something to do? Go handle your business. I hate that. That's what I always tell people. When they get a dig into my inbox, missing me 4, 5, 6 times in a row, ain't responding. Bro, listen, don't you got like a wife and kids or something, a job or something to go do? Go read the scriptures, go do something. Why are you in my DMs? Why you have time to do this? You a grown man. Go handle your business. Whatever that business is, you need to find some business to manage and stop managing mine. You're not going to change me from whatever I said, I said. If you want to come in there with a scripture and try to correct it, brother, then I'm always willing to take correction if I was wrong. You'll see me sometimes, I go to Instagram and say, hey, man, I was wrong. Somebody told me DM, I was wrong. So if I'm wrong, I'm willing to say I was wrong, but don't slide in my DM trying to argue with me, because I ain't finna argue with you. I'm a grown man, and you a grown man, man. Go about your business. It's not that serious to me, and it shouldn't be that serious to you. It's about building a nation. So you got souls that's never heard the gospel. You got souls that only ever been in the Christian church that are dying to hear this knowledge that you have. And you wasting the argument with somebody on Twitter that's already in the truth, that already got the book. So whether they want to listen to the book or not, it's on them. They got to deal with the Most High God now. Someone already put them on, but it's people who blood is on your hands. You ain't washed your hands completely of the blood yet. And you worry about somebody on Instagram. You worry about somebody on Twitter. You worry about another man. For what? Go teach the sheep. Go teach the sheep. The wolves, kill the wolves if you can. If not, let them run into the forest, and the Most High God is coming. When he comes, then we'll deal with the rest of the wolves. Right now, it's not in your forte to deal with the wolves. The only thing that's in your forte is to speak out against them, to raise the banner. They cut their head off if they get too close, but once they start to run, you pursue them for what? You wasting your time because you the shepherd. Now you running away from the sheep, so just letting the wolf run off. Let the wolf go in there. Make sure you're protecting the sheep that you bring into your fold, if you're bringing any into your fold. That's why I never understood how people can sit on Twitter and bash IUIC. I see them brothers on the street corner everywhere I go. All right, so irregardless of what they're teaching, right, they're getting that into their ear. So then they can go back and study on their own and become approved by through themselves. All right, they can study to show thyself approved, but at least they're getting in their ear. You ain't even doing that. If a nigga ain't got no Twitter, bro, you ain't told him nothing. If a Negro, whatever you want to say, you don't say nigga, whatever. If a Negro, a black person, is like, ain't got no Twitter, you ain't never said nothing. And if he ain't Negro, then you ain't going to talk to him anymore. What about light-skinned brothers, too? Negro-only brothers. Somebody at the Naja Melchizedek. Negro-only brothers, if you listen to this, can someone please tell me exactly, like, what's the cutoff? Like, light-skinned people, they still Israel? What about if someone... Daddy is Mexican, and mama is black. They not Israel, right? I just want to understand exactly what your cutoff point is. Is it a percentage of blood? You know, because ain't none of us probably. I hate to say that, because a lot of us probably still are. You know, 100% just Negro, but a lot of us are. A lot of us a little mixed up here and there. So how we know what side we mixed up on and where and who and what? What exactly? Somebody explain to me exactly what the Negro doctrine is, and I need you to explain where it says Israel should be like a speckled bird. I need you to understand how that we tell the difference between Northern Kingdom and Southern Kingdom. How can we see the difference physically between the Sumerian and the Israelite? How was that? What was it? Why did the tribes separate in the first place? And why did Christ have to come back to put them together? Why did Israel say that you had to put the stick back together? All right, so somebody at the Naja Melchizedek, one of y'all slide in my DM, man, at Thastocratic Hepzibah, slide in the DM, man, and tell me exactly what your doctrine is. I don't really know the doctrine, if that makes sense. I don't understand it. I don't get exactly what you're trying to say. All right. But anyways, with all that being said, man, the moral of the story is, focus on yourself and your race, your run, the people who want to be taught. They don't want to be taught. They already got some of the knowledge. There's nothing you can do, man. Shake off the dust of your feet, and it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city that rejected the prophet. Who cares? Me and Drew talk about this all the time, man. We was at Fort Valley State. I told you about it earlier. We at Fort Valley State, man. We on the yard. We preaching. We teaching classes 2-3 times a week. 1-2 people showing up. We still teaching. Eventually, we got them about 10 folks, 15 folks. We still teaching them. When we came back from break one time, we stopped, and I kid you not, after we stopped preaching on that yard, and it was a family of the word at that school, like someone dies at least every 6 months. It's only about every 4 months. But someone dies. Somebody gets shot. Somebody get kidnapped. Somebody, I think one person, boyfriend killed her. You know what I'm saying? Another dude just got caught in a shootout. Then you got two college students shooting at some locals. All kind of crazy stuff going on because it's going to be more tolerable in the facade of Megamore in the day of judgment. And that city, so don't worry about it, man. Dust it off your feet and go on about your business. There's nothing that you can do to stop it. All right. Some plant, some water, Most High God get an increase. And that's what you have to depend on, that the Most High God is going to get an increase, okay? Last thing I want to talk about is Lil Nas X and his shoe and Nike's decision. Now, I can't, and I'm not going to talk about this for long. I'm just going to be honest, because I can't for long because I'm going to get so upset. I'm not gonna be able to make it through the rest of the day, all right? But Lil Nas X decided to make this shoe with some company called Mischief, apparently. All right, the shoe has Luke. Maybe I'm gonna read that scripture to you, but the shoe has Luke 10 and 18. I know a paraphrase of it. Let me get you the exact scripture from the King James Version. All right, Luke 10 and 18 says, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." That's Luke 10:18. It was 666 shoes made. They sold for $1,018 a piece. They had one drop of human blood and a pentagram tied to the shoestrings. And they were Nike, I want to say Air Max 97s. Now, Nike has actually got a federal judge to issue a cease and desist order for them even selling the shoes at all. I guess unless they removed the Nike logo. So Nike has actually gotten to start the process, and I was about to boycott Nike. You know, I'm about to make a video burning some Nike, and I see what they do, and I say, okay, well, hold on. Let's hold off on it and see exactly what Nike's going to do. Now, do I think Nike did it because they're just... And see, what I was saying about Nike, I'm not going to lie. What I was saying about Nike was the shoes sold for $1,088 and it was 666 pair. I'll do the math. I'll do the math and it'll be less than it'll be around what, $666,000, a little more, a little less, but that's like a day's worth of money for Nike. That's not a whole lot of money for Nike. Nike's making more than $600,000 in a couple minutes. You know, they put a Jordan on sale. They're making $600,000 the first 2 minutes the Jordan's on sale. They can sell a pair of Jordans, sell them out. They're probably making $4, $5, $6 million in a day in one Saturday. So that $600,000-$700,000 shouldn't have moved the needle for them. And I was sitting here trying to think, why did Nike even risk the bad publicity that can come with having Satan's shoe with your logo on there for $700,000? I'm thinking at that point, I'm thinking the CEO and the board of directors, you got to be wicked. You got to be evil to do that. And that's the reason why I want to boy. That was the reason why I was close to boycott Nike until Nike came out and said, we got nothing to do with the shoe and we did not approve the shoe. Not only that, they went to a federal judge and got a cease and desist order to stop them from selling the shoe. So the shoe can't even be sold right now. All praise be to the Most High Power, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He has done great things for me. All right. But what we have to understand now is that in his video, he came down on a strip pole from heaven, so-called from the sky. I ain't going to say from heaven. That's blasphemous. He came down from the sky down to the devil and start twerking on the devil. And then when someone tweeted him about it, let me tell you what he tweeted back to the dude. And this is why you got to understand that just because the devil is not in the video does not mean that the devil is not in the music. He specifically told him, a dude said, listen, the kids look up to you. You did something like this, and the kids look up to you. They listen to Old Town Road every day. He responded, in Old Town Road, I talk about adultery and drinking lean. So if you let your kids listen to it, that's your business. And that should tell you something about most of these artists out here. You got to pay attention to what you put into your body, because they know that what they're putting out is evil. He didn't say, I was talking about sex. You understand the difference? What did he say? I was talking about adultery. That means he reads the scriptures. When they put Luke 10:18 on the side of their shoe, that means they read the scriptures. They understand what wickedness is, and they make a decision to be wicked. And that's the difference, I believe, with some of these rappers and some of the other ones. Some of them, they just don't know no better. They trying to get some money and they don't know no better. Some of them are legitimately wicked individuals. And they will continue to do wicked things. So you have to completely separate yourself from the wicked. You have to get it out of your system. When you feel a song when you playing and say, this is wicked as hell, turn it off. Don't play with them, because the more that you play with them, the more power that you give them. When you sit there singing that song, you don't know, you give them just power on top of power on top of power. If they know that they're wicked, because they know how to put spells on them songs. Literally. You wonder why you feeling so angry. You feeling so, here's a spell on that song. And you chanting. You understand? You protected by the Most High God, but to a certain extent, you know, you still feeling that energy. All right, so you have to be careful with what you allow your kids, what you allow your nephews, what you allow your nieces, what you allow your little cousins to ingest into their body. Because Lil Nas X just told you, I could care less about what these kids hear from me. Because I started it off talking about lean and adultery. Fornication. And he was actually wrong. He did talk about adultery, cheated on my baby. You can go and ask him. Yeah, so he did talk about adultery and something, but he also talked about fornication. All right, and I knew all this was coming when a man came out and said he was gay. That's why I ain't listen to Old Town Road since he came out and said he was gay. And I mean this in the nicest way possible, because I don't think most gay people are just wicked people, wicked individuals. Just like most of my friends that are whoremongers. They aren't just wicked individuals in general, but that level of wickedness invites demons that can continue to progress until you see what you see now. Like they said on his burner account, he was talking about he really want to have sex with his nephew, but he only three. Lil Nas X on his burner. So things like that are things you have to sit back and look at, man, and say, wait a minute. You know, let me really make sure. Like Lil Uzi Vert, one time he said at one of his concerts, he said, if I worship the devil, all y'all listen to my music, all y'all been hearing vibe movements, so y'all going straight to hell with me. If that wasn't enough to make you stop, I don't know what is. This is from the this is Socratic Hephzibah. Excuse me, we'll be right back. That's Socratic Hephzibah. This is the Najit. At That's Socratic Hephzibah on Twitter. Actually, just go to at the Najit Melchizedek. Look at my link. I got my investing Instagram page in there, as well as my That's Socratic Hephzibah, my Instagram page. I mean my podcast and or just general outreach mission that we're doing right here. That's gotta help some people that wonder where I got the name from. But hold on before I go there. That's what I'm ending the show with. But let's finish our conversation about Lil Nas X and the evil that the industry might bring upon us. Well, you just have to be very careful. All right, when Lil Uzi Vert said that, that should have made you just think. Made me think for sure. Like, dang, bro, you serious? And so it makes you want to just completely cut it out of your life. Now I listen to music with an ear wide open for any type of wickedness, any type of overabundant wickedness, and I turn it off. You know, there's certain rappers that I can just assume, you know, aren't like that, but I still listen to their music and make sure. On top of that, you got to watch these celebrities. Like, it's a guy now that I'm, you know, if you know me personally, you know, I fell in love with NASCAR over the last couple months. 2311 Racing is 23. Michael Jordan 11 is Denny Hamlin, one of the most successful NASCAR drivers, you know, especially nowadays, probably the most successful NASCAR driver, just never won a championship. But as far as race by week basis, probably the most successful NASCAR driver in the last 5 years between him and Kyle Busch. He started a new team with a guy named Bubba Wallace. I go on Bubba Wallace's Instagram and I see the, you know, the one-eye symbolism. He got one eye in the picture. He got like one half of his face blacked out. But it kind of looked like, you know, it could have just been a picture somebody took. But then you got to sit back and you got to think, hey, man, did someone just tell him, I'm going to take this picture? Hey, his publicist told him, hey, make this your profile picture. Or did they talk to him about exactly what that one-eye symbolism is? And is he down with it? You see Roy Williams retire from UNC at 33 years in the game. Did he do that because he's a Mason and he convinced Jordan to be a Mason? Or did he do that because he was just ready to retire? It just happened to be 36 years. You see the Suez Canal. It took him 6 days to free it. Instead of saying it took us 6 days, they took us 144 hours. You know, you sit back and you think about things like that, and you just have to sit there and wonder, like, hey, am I getting played for a fool? You know, do these people know exactly what's going on, or don't they? All right, so you have to sit back and pay attention to it, man, because if they know what's going on, they're doing something to you they ain't got no business doing, I guarantee it, because that's their mandate from their God, their power. We have the most high power. They have a power, if that makes sense. They have a lower power, a power, and that's why the scripture says you gave reverence to these things. You made things gods that your forefathers would have saw as on the same level as them, because they saw themselves as gods walking the earth, because they were the sons of God, the seed of God, the breath of God walking the earth, the handiwork of the Most High God walking the earth. But now we see ourselves as men because we've fallen like the princes and we've died like men. But you can wake up, okay? You can wake up. This stats credit helps, but it's the Najit from the desk of the Najit. Najit at the Najit Melchizedek on Instagram. I want to say my Twitter if you want to follow me on Twitter. Let me tell you my Twitter real quick. If you want to follow me on Twitter, someone let me know if you want me to go on Clubhouse too. If you want to have a discussion with me on Clubhouse, you just want me to go on Clubhouse once or twice a week and, you know, have a conversation, I'll do that. But my Twitter is Hepzibah Najit. Follow me on all that, man. I post some crazy stuff, but you know me, it's always true. It's never a lie. I'm here to tell you the truth. Most High God be with you. Most High God bless you. I feel for you. Y'all stay safe. Y'all stay prayed up, man. I'll be praying for y'all. DM me if you need anything. My phone number's on my Instagram account. If you need me, man, call me. Don't hesitate. Don't call me no bullshit, because you're going to get something right back. But anyways, Most High God bless you. Godspeed to you. That's the credit helps.